Hello, and welcome to the Friday edition of Catholic Answers Live. Jimmy Akin will be here second hour. We're going to do weird questions with Jimmy Akin. We've got a whole collection of weird questions, and some of them, I imagine, will require weird answers. So it might also be weird answers with Jimmy Akin for part of the day. You're welcome to hang around for that. We hope you will. This hour, we're going to talk about home. There's a some challenges in having homes that are fully welcoming and joyful and peaceful today. And our guests have a brand new book to help people maybe reorient the home and create that beauty in the home, that peace in the home, that order and welcome in the home that directs everyone there, who, whether young or old, towards our true home, the home of our Father in heaven, towards which we are now sojourning, pilgriming. Theology of Home, Finding the Eternal in the Everyday is the book. And far from being a book with more for you to do, it's a book really with ideas on what to do to develop the beauty of the home. Two of its authors are with us today. Dr. Carrie Gress is a homeschooling mother herself with four kids. She has a doctorate in philosophy from the Catholic University of America. You know her. She's been on with us lots of times. She's authored several very fine books, including the much remarked upon bestsellers, The Marian Option and The Anti-Mary Exposed. One of her co-authors on this book is Noelle Maring, who's a freelance writer with a background in theater and philosophy. And she and her husband live out here in California, in Ventura, with their six children. Carrie and Noelle, thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having us. It's great to be on.
So a theology of home. It does seem that the home is maybe struggling. We're struggling in our home life. It's a place of loneliness and estrangement for a lot of people where it maybe doesn't need to be. Is that part of why you wrote this book?
Yeah, you know, the original inspiration for this book came largely to me because it struck me that everything that we do in our homes and in the world and as parents and just living our lives as Catholics is really, we're trying to get home. That's the goal. We're trying to get to heaven with God. And from there, it just seemed like our homes are supposed to be that place where they sort of launch us into that. And so that's really where the original idea came from. But the book itself, it's, you know, to describe the book, it's got plenty of text and some spiritual meat to it, but we wanted it to be more of a kind of a reflection about the great elements about home. What are these things that are in our homes that are also, we find in the church, of course, but also are ultimately expressions of, you know, transcendentals of God. So things like light, security, comfort, nourishment, all of these things. And why is it that these things have been so maligned? You know, we love these things in our culture. We love the home. I mean, we spend $450 billion annually to either renovate, build, remodel, whatever, our home, decorate our homes. And yet, what are they supposed to be? People want them to feel like something of a sanctuary. They want them to feel like there's a place to go, in from the harsh world. And so we really wanted to capitalize on this and say, you know, we love the home. What is it we love about the home? And why has this not yet translated into understanding the role of the homemaker, and what a privilege it is to be a homemaker and offer these gifts to those that we love the most. So that's really what the idea behind the book.
The word homemaker is going to make the hair stand on the back of some people's neck. That's a tough one. Noelle, you live here in California. You have six children. A lot of people are going to say, because it's really expensive to live here in California, that's why I point that out. They're going to say, we're both working. I don't have time to do the things that are needed to make home the kind of place you're talking about.
Right. And I empathize with that struggle, certainly. It's not a simple issue. It's complex. There's a lot of variables. And I think it's going to look probably differently for each family, how they arrange their finances and their family life. Obviously in line with church principles, but even within church principles, that's going to look differently. So I think what we're trying to do is not necessarily have a practical guide of how to do your home so much as a reorientation in a meditation on the beauty that is home, because it seems like in so many ways in our culture, we've really veered away from very basic things, you know, even just so far as like the nature of the person, the nature of our biological reality. And because we have distanced ourselves from such basic elements of life so severely, we really have to kind of reorient ourselves with what is basic. And home is sort of a really foundational access point for every human being to understand and begin to think about what's meaningful in our life. What did we miss out on in our childhood? What do we want for our families? What are the things that are really crucial and universally desired for all human beings? So to sort of start there, and that I just think that's such a good access point to start a bigger conversation about broader things.
It strikes me Carrie, Dr. Gress, you have written the Marian Option. That's a very serious book. And it's about a crisis in our culture and in our church and about responding in the way that Mary wants us to respond to that. Okay, that's really heavy duty stuff, but I kind of feel like you all have hit on something that's almost right in front of our face and we're missing it. That as if you rebuild the home, if you reorient the home, you're in a certain way, you're rebuilding the whole world because for the people who are in the home.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, and I think that that's a great point. I mean, this is one of the motivations for this book too. I just finished this book, The Anti-Mary. It came out in March, and The Anti-Mary looks at how the culture has been devastated and how women have been devastated, largely by the ideology behind radical feminism. And part of that ideology, of course, is that women that stay home are not very bright. You're just a slave if you do that. That your career is much more important. All of these kinds of things, and even, of course, just the fundamental lies that are packed into it, which are things like our children are our enemies, our husbands are our enemies, and the family's our enemy. All of these kinds of very subtle but very distinct ideas that we can see. We're sort of marinating in the culture at this point. And yet this book feels sort of like, that book is sort of on defense. Like we're trying to see what's wrong with the culture. How do we articulate that? How do we look at Our Lady as this example in a healthy way and not just a very superficial or saccharine way? So this book feels like it's taking those very same ideas, but sort of going on offense and saying, we have something amazing and we have something beautiful in our homes and we have so much to give to the world through our children and through our families. And, even that very basic idea of we can't always get people that we love to church, but we can certainly get them to our dinner table. We can serve them a beautiful meal and help them, witness what it's like to be around a big family or a family that really is trying to live the gospel. And those speak loudly to people. I know when I was a single woman, being around families that were ordered was so inspiring and hopeful to me. And I think I've taken a lot of ideas from those families and certainly used them in my own life. And I think that's what we're trying to do with this book is just say, Catholic faith is amazing and our lives are so enriched by it. And there's so much that we get through that and through our homes that, it doesn't just stay with us, but it goes reverberates out into the world. And so that's really part of the idea behind it.
Carrie Gress and Noelle Maring are our guests. Their brand new book, and I mean brand new book from Tan Books, is Theology of Home, Finding the Eternal in the Everyday. If you have questions about homemaking, about the value and the dignity of that undertaking, about the partnership that is required for homemaking, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Maybe you have questions about the theology itself. What is the underlying theology in the theology of home, in the book, The Theology of Home, Finding the Eternal in Everyday Life? If you'd like to either share your insights into that or just join in the conversation, if you have a question, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. And also, I'll tell you what, if you're one of those people for whom the word homemaker or the suggestion perhaps that a woman might be interested in beauty and light and welcome in her home and that might actually be particular to women in a way that it is not to men, if that troubles you in any way that we might talk that way, you're welcome to call as well. 888-318-7884. We might charge you. Maybe $5 if you disagree, but 888-318-7884, again, the number. Again, Dr. Carrie Gress, our guest, and Noelle Maring as well. They are the authors of Theology of Home, Finding the Eternal in the Everyday. today. We'll take a quick break and be right back with your calls for them on the Theology of Home.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Noel Maring and Carrie Gress are our guests. They have a wonderful, beautiful, and when I say beautiful, it is a beautiful new book, Theology of Home, Finding the Eternal in the Everyday. You were just mentioning at the break, Dr. Gress, we didn't mention that it's the physical beauty of the book, that you went out of your way to make it beautiful.
Right. Yeah. No, we have this incredible photographer, Kim Bale, who lives there in Southern California also. And she just did an amazing job. And she took pictures in California, several houses down there. And then at that beautiful mission church, it's in Santa Barbara, right, Noelle?
Yeah, that's right.
And then some gorgeous old stone homes in the Philadelphia area, and then some pictures in England as well. So it's really just this incredible array of different styles. And we also have pictures of, you know, pregnant women and children and big families and, you know, things that are not really supposed to be in design books these days. So it was really fun to sort of think about how do we incorporate these really key pieces of our lives into the book in a way that's, you know, keeping with the whole picture and vision.
888-318-7884. The number lines are filling up, however, so let's empty some of them out so you can call. Let's start with Tom in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Tom, your question for Carrie and Noel.
Well, I have kind of an interesting question, I think. I've noticed for decades, really since the advent of the so-called women's movement and the feminists and all our shit, that when at a parish meeting or any kind of meeting where there's women around, a feminist will start sounding off and telling them all about, you know, well, you know what I mean. And rarely will any of these women speak back to them or contradict them.
Yeah.
And I wonder, do you think that's because these women are afraid of them? Or I think it's because down deep they think maybe they're going to get some advantage out of this women's movement. But anyway, what do you think, and what's the solution here? What's to get women to start talking back to these women?
Yeah. You know, I've written a whole book on that, actually, Tom. So thank you for your question. I have my book, The Anti-Mary Exposed. I talk about this issue in particular and really how trenchant that movement really is in our culture. And I think what a stranglehold they have on so many of us, because these elite women, these radical feminists, what do they control? They control everything. They control politics. They control Hollywood. They control the music we listen to, the magazines that we read, the fashion industry. So most of us are just scared to death because we know we're going to be shouted down, not just by that feminist, but probably by all kinds of other people that we don't want to speak up. And so it's really easy to just be quiet and just say, I'm not going to like ruffle the feathers. I'm just going to go with flow and live my life the way that it is. And so many of us have been doing that. And it's been amazing since I've written this book, because so many people have approached me and just said, thank you so much for giving us a voice, because we can't find it. And, you know, there's even been a debate in the Wall Street Journal recently, like, where are the conservative women's voices? Where are the pro-life voices, the Catholic voices? And they're not there largely because you've got, again, this stranglehold. You're not going to have someone, a booker on a very liberal show, bring someone like me onto their show. It's just not going to happen because the booker knows that they'll get fired and they'll get pressure from their producer. Their career they won't be promoted. There's all kinds of layers of this. And we know this has been going on for a long time. Certainly among magazines as well, you see a lot of women kind of colluding to make sure that the abortion issue is one that always looks fresh and fun and wonderful for the pro-choice crowd. So, yeah, I think that women are really there's kind of one voice out there. And that's the hard part, is that so many of us feel differently. And we just need to figure out a way to sort of have our voice be heard. But it's really hard to do it when you feel like you're that only woman, whether it's at the church meeting or where you are, to stand up for yourself, especially because they do have sound bites. They have talking points. They've been honing this argument for 50 years. So to sort of come back and just say something sort of feebly and you don't feel very armed to do that is an incredibly challenging thing. So, yeah, I think that there's a lot working against women at this stage in the history of our culture.
Excuse me, Tom, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for the question.
Appreciate that. You know, there's one woman writer that I read sometimes in The Atlantic who is kind of she's kind of shattering all this hookup culture is good for women thing. And her name is Caitlin Flanagan. Did you ever read Caitlin Flanagan?
I don't know her.
I do think there are some secular women who are starting to be willing to speak out. It's for a long time only really been Christian women that have had that willingness. But and maybe Caitlin Flanagan is, I don't know. But well, Tom, thank you very, very much. The book is Theology of Home. Our guests are Dr. Carrie Gress and Noelle Maring, two of the authors of Theology of Home. Your third author is who?
Megan Schreiber.
Megan Schreiber.
She's a mom up in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And her gorgeous home is featured in this book as well.
Jeremy, also in Lincoln, Nebraska, also listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. You are next, Jeremy. Your question, please.
Well, I guess it's kind of a two-part question. I was just, you said theology of the home, and I was kind of curious if that kind of is the same line of, like, St. Therese, the little flower, you know, do the ordinary in an extraordinary way. And my wife and I are blessed enough to where she's actually chosen to be a stay-at-home mom. And one of the things she brings up a lot are Pinterest things. And so I was just kind of curious, I guess with some of the social media, some of the pressures, you know, they talk about, you know, well, it's got to be this way. It's got to be perfect and stuff like that. So I was kind of curious if your book addresses kind of maybe those two things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know that. I'm trying to remember. I don't know if we have that. I think we have that quote of St. Therese in the book. We have got some fun quotes put in there. But I know we also had very much in mind Mother Teresa, you know, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. That quote and that idea is very much in keeping with the idea of that. But I think that that is really what animates it. But I think the bigger piece was really, even theologically speaking, looking at something like the prodigal son and that idea of coming home. And of course, looking at Christ as the door. How do we get there? You know, Christ in certain translations of scripture calls himself the door, you know, the way, the truth, the light. All of these kinds of ideas are certainly reflected in that. I think that's largely what animates the question. Noelle, did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, just certainly that her little way is imbued throughout our book. I mean, just the idea that the contrast between needing, and I would not disparage social media. A lot of stay-at-home moms really find community there and think that's a beautiful thing. But obviously, there's a tendency in the culture in general to really seek out celebrity and to want to be seen. And the homemaker's life is generally one that's very hidden, you know, like Our Lady's life was. And so there's a tension there, obviously. And, you know, one of the things we're trying to say in the book without maybe saying it so explicitly is just that the hidden life is life that has, in some ways, the largest consequence into the future of the world and our culture and also our own salvation and the salvation of the people who are in our care. So to reorient us in that way, too, just that the beauty of these quiet, hidden, small things, because, I mean, obviously our tagline is finding the eternal in the everyday. So that's mm-hmm. the idea, that we find something momentous in the small, you know, act and of love that we can do in the smallest ways each day.
And I would add, I think there is another tension too between, of course, just materialism and the secularism that we see, and just, you know, sort of spending money so that we can spend money kind of idea. But what we recognize is there's something very vital about creating a beautiful home, and that we can give to people. And it doesn't have to always be expensive. I mean, women are so creative. They found so many different ways to make a beautiful home, you know, off of a shoestring. But it's something that is, I think, as a church, you know, this is not something that our parishes should be doing. Our pastors shouldn't be talking about home decor. And yet this is something that's very vital to the female soul. I mean, if we look at what animates us and what we're interested in and the directions that we like to go and how we like to spend our time, we have to pay attention to this. And instead of sort of feeling like we need to live this life of complete austerity, we're not all called to that. We are called to enrich the lives of those we love. And sometimes it certainly happens through the home and through hospitality and making a place of safety and comfort for others. So I think that's another important element, because women are, you know, like you mentioned, Pinterest, women are finding it other places. Look at all the magazines that are out there. Not one of them is something that I could look through every single page and feel like my faith isn't assaulted in one way or another. And yet how many of us read these? Because there's nothing else to look at for us to really be inspired by our faith. So I think that that's another crucial piece, is just recognizing, you know, how are women's souls fed, and what's important to them that may seem frivolous on the, you know, first glance, but in fact is actually very important to the day-to-day life.
Jeremy, thank you very, very much for that call. Theology of Home is the name of the book, subtitled Finding the Eternal in the Everyday. Dozens, scores of beautiful images throughout the book, but also scores of beautiful quotes, thoughts, helps to finding that theology of home. If you'd like to discuss that, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Our guests are the authors, Carrie Gress and Noelle Maring. And up next is Helena in New Jersey, listening on Domestic Church Radio. Helena, your question for our guests.
It's not so much a question, it's more of a comment. I was blessed enough to be able to stay home to take care of my two daughters. You know, and thinking I was well-educated, I have a master's degree. My husband at the time had a doctorate. And things didn't go well. I ended up getting a divorce. But in Maryland, if you have a master's degree, you don't get any alimony. So at 51, even though I worked part-time, I can only afford to a one-bedroom and can't even, no alimony, no nothing. Ex-husband makes over three times as much, and the children live with their father. So I wouldn't recommend it to anybody, only because I don't even have my children.
That's a real injustice, you know, that what's befallen you, and I'm so sorry to hear that. I think that this ties into a really crucial issue here that we do talk about in the book, which is that theology of home is not just for women. It is absolutely 100% for men. So it does not work if the woman is prioritizing the home and the man is not. And what does that mean? That might look differently in different for their days. However, you know, when my husband comes home from work, he says to himself, and I think this might be taken from something else, maybe even an event, but he says it's showtime, meaning this is where the crux of my day exists, is for my family. And my family is not, in my home, it's not a place where I just come and am grumpy and grab a beer and watch television for the night, but rather I am working and out in the world for the sake of these human beings. And this is the priority. This is the big deal. So I think and I don't know your particular circumstances, so obviously I'm not speaking to that, but I think that what you're speaking to does play into that idea that I think everyone has to prioritize the home and the family in order for it to be harmonious and it to be working. Does that make sense?
The gist of it was prioritizing the children over the wife. So...
I think what the reality is, and I, this is in my book, The Anti-Mary Exposed, Just the idea of how much the emphasis has been put on how women ought to work and how the priority over that aspect instead of over taking care of the children. And we now, you know, we're 50 years out from that. We see the incredible damage that has been done to the whole family. So I think we need to kind of look at it as a whole unit, because obviously the children are suffering, the couples are suffering. But part of that, again, is this misplaced priority of focusing on the fact that women need these careers, and that's where fulfillment is going to be. And so the real result has been to see that families and women are struggling because the home is so denigrated. And it's not seen as something that's important and focused on. So I think we need to start looking at the whole family as a unit, you know, husband, wife, and children, which is, I think, what Noel was trying to say.
Helena, thank you for the call. We have to head to a break. Theology of Home is the book. Your calls are welcome. 888-31-TRUTH.
Catholic Answers Live.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and you've probably heard me explain Catholicism to non-Catholic callers on the radio or engage opponents in formal public debates. I've always hoped these interactions would show people how to graciously defend and share our faith, but they're not enough. That's why I've created a weekly podcast that will help Catholics answer the toughest objections against our faith. Every episode of the Council of Trent will provide listeners with a conversation roadmap that will help them share their faith with anyone. Keep in mind that I hate boring lectures. These podcasts will contain entertaining, informative, and practical explanations of the faith, as well as interviews with the best Catholic writers and speakers in the world today. Visit TrentHornPodcast.com today to find out how you can subscribe to my new podcast. That's TrentHornPodcast.com.
Monday is the feast of St. Padre Pio.
Let's celebrate it on Monday's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern.
Now, let's get back to more of Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Jimmy Akin next hour. We're going to do weird questions to wrap up the week with Jimmy Akin next hour. And we've already got all the weird questions, so if you've got one, you're going to have to send it to us via email. We'll get to it next time. We have a boatload of weird questions to get through. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we're having a wonderful conversation about a brand new book called Theology of Home, Finding the Eternal in the Everyday, a book to help, I guess, rediscover the dignity of homemaking and a God-given dignity to homemaking. And if you would like to get in on that conversation, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guests are Dr. Carrie Gress, who is a homeschooling mother herself, and we have Dr. Gress on from time to time because she's one of those like figures like Trent Horn, where every 6 months you're going to see another great book, and then you got to have her on. But and the last one was the Anti-Mary Exposed, and then there was the Marian Option. What's the one that you did for like for kids though?
Marian Consecration for Children.
Marian Consecration for Children. Yep. Her co-author on one of her two co-authors on this book is Noelle Maring, also a freelance writer and a mother of six here in California. Your questions, as I said, are welcome. 888-318-7884. We will start now with Alex in Massachusetts. Alex, your question, please.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on today. I just also want to thank the two guests for empowering women authentically. So thank you for all the work you guys have done.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pleasure to kind of dip into this discussion while I was driving. The one thing that I was curious, and this was just a question because you seem very knowledgeable, is it feels like over the last 50 years, I'm a little younger, I'm in my 30s, but over the last 50 years or so, it seems like there's a real attack on the nuclear family, particularly in this country, concept of a healthy nuclear family. And, you know, additionally, when you talk about the stranglehold that certain entities have over the narrative, it's almost like the debasement of the nuclear family has been a big component in allowing that stranglehold to be maintained. Like, you know, convincing women, for instance, that the only measure of success you could ever have is your career. You know, don't let the man earn the money. You know, you have to go out and be independent, but at the expense of the children at the home. And it does feel a lot like women are the vehicle they're using to try to prey upon to kind of continue to separate that nuclear family. So I was just kind of curious to hear your opinions about, you know, that concept of nuclear family separation and trying to take that out of the lexicon.
No, they don't have any opinions on that, Alex. No, I'm sorry.
I know. Here's the pitch from Alex. So, yeah, thank you. No, I think it's a great question. That's really what motivated my book, that again, The Anti-Mary Exposed, where I talk about this. What's being targeted? It's absolutely women. Satan knows that if he gets women, he gets everybody. Everybody's going to sort of follow along or be dragged along in many respects. But, you know, looking at the culture, too, what's also being targeted? Motherhood, certainly, and virginity. And who do we call the Virgin Mother? Our Lady. So it's really a concerted effort, I think, to destroy this icon of motherhood that women bring to the world. Because if people don't understand what a real woman is, what real femininity is, what real motherhood is, then they will never want to go to Our Lady. They won't recognize her. They won't understand her. And of course, we know Our Lady always brings us to her son, that she's such a vital piece in all of that. So I think you're absolutely right. If you want to read more on this, you know, you can pick up my book, The Anti-Mary Exposed. But there's definitely the spirit that has animated the culture. And I think it's now at there's a thaw happening. People are beginning to see this isn't ultimately making them happy. And part of it is because a lot of these women, the first and second generations of women that were part of this movement, a lot of them are dying and they're miserable and they're wondering what happened to my life. You know, I was supposed to have this incredible career. And, you know, even someone like Barbara Walters is saying that she wishes she had more children. I think that this lie is beginning to be exposed and people are beginning to realize that what we've been sold is not really what we're getting through radical feminism.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you very, very much for the call.
Question.
Up next is Laura in Philadelphia, listening on EWTN radio there in Philadelphia. Laura, your question, please.
Hi. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the first book about beautiful homes?
Oh, the book that we're talking about. Yes, it's called Theology of Home, Finding the Eternal in the Everyday. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, part of what I was sort of stumbling over is how I've always struggled to have everything in its place and a place for everything. And I have six kids. They're mostly going towards the young adult stage now. I still have my youngest just turned 14. And I am still a stay-at-home mom at 24 years. And but I work really hard at trying to keep things neat. And I turn around and it's not always that way, or it's often not that way. And I just went out, had to take my mom to an appointment yesterday, and I was gone longer than I thought, and the kitchen was a pure disaster when I came home. I'm just frustrated that the battle is real. And, like, to elevate the idea of a mom and, you know, wife, woman at home, creating her home, I love that idea. I really want that. But if there's one more, like, kind of place that's trying to make it look like this is a real beautiful part of being an at-home mom, it starts to make me cringe, like, I'm losing the battle.
Ah, okay.
Well, I'll let you answer that. Yeah, go ahead, Noah.
No, I mean, I think that's eminently relatable question. Every mother has felt that. I certainly feel that only about
daily.
Every other day.
daily.
And I certainly not, our point is not to make anyone feel badly about their homes or to feel, you know, we speak about women who live in circumstances that are not even conventionally acceptable. You know, this is not to impose like a lavishness upon expectation upon mothers. And, you know, I think so the practical answer is that we have two things, I think, that we make small changes slowly in trying to move towards order. We make, you know, a resolution to wake up 10 minutes earlier. You know, we don't try to, I think oftentimes we get consumed with perfectionism and then we give up because we can't meet that standard. So how can we have smaller goals? You know, that would be a practical beginning. The other part of that is I think we have to have what St. Jose Maria would say, a sporting spirit. So we approach our day where we know we're going to be encountering frustrations and we're going to clean an area and then it's going to get trashed again. And that's going to feel frustrating. But how do we reframe that? So instead, we can just have a sporting spirit about it and laugh it off and then get everyone to help us. And, you know, just this is not, I'm not going to solve every woman of all time problems of homemaking in this answer. But I think just having those two ideas of starting small and trying to introduce order in small ways, and then also having a relaxed attitude where we're not tense and we're not, you know, on the verge of falling apart if we see another mess.
Laura, how does
that make sense? I would just want to add, too, I think the other reality is just what is the goal? The goal isn't to have our kitchen immaculate all day long. The goal is to get our kids to heaven. And how do we focus on that? And that's one of the things we did with this idea of, you know, of nourishment and light and all of these things that have both a physical reality, but also a spiritual reality. And how do we focus on those things in a way that we can take joy in our children and what it is that we're doing, you know, even when things are a disaster. And, you know, I currently have a basement that was flooded with water, and it's been the carpet people are finally coming on Monday, but it's been a mess for a month. And, you know, it's just those kinds of things that I think we can get really hung up on. And yet, you know, I'm still homeschooling and still trying to focus on the fact that I'm present with my kids and I'm giving them something incredibly rich, even in the midst of, you know, this, what feels like a disastrous state of our home right now. So I think it's
right.
A great question.
Sort of
thank you
of,
so much for asking.
One of the rich symbols of home is that when we fall in love, we think of our beloved as being our home. And I think that's a signifier that homes are really about the people, right? And so if we can keep that order in mind that the people are not for the sake of the home so much as the home is for the sake of the people that who live there. Can help us reframe that.
Laura, point. I'd love to hear your response.
Well, I'm hearing the good advice. I guess I feel like I have been, what was the phrase about something about
sporting
attitude? What was the way you said
have,
it?
Have a sporting.
The sporting mm-hmm. spirit, yeah.
The sporting spirit. I think I've got that.
Yeah. No, I hear that in your voice, yeah.
And yeah, and I'm having like this kind of kaleidoscope in my mind of many other mothers who are my dear friends who have just, I've been in many houses of women who were open to life, very committed to be a stay-at-home mom, whose houses just have had, during the busy years, when you're so busy with like a nursing baby, somebody potty training, mm-hmm. all the way up to the 10 to 15-year-olds, it's just the sporting spirit of accepting as things are. There's a joy at the same time. There's a colossal mess that mm-hmm. a different mother or your mother-in-law or sister Mary from down the street would come to visit you. You would feel horrified that mm-hmm. person you know doesn't keep their house like this. But when they are not going to be the guests coming in, you're perfectly fine. And then
yeah.
then you feel
yeah.
the pall mm-hmm. cast upon you of, mm-hmm. oh, you know, I'm happy, but this person is a guest.
No. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think you want to compare yourself. And also, if Sister Mary down the street came and felt you'd be horrified, you know, I think that if she has any woman who comes with charity into the home of a woman who is postpartum and has a toddler and is homeschooled, you know, they are going to understand. you know, and so I think we have to expect that people are going to approach us with charity. And if they don't, then that's sort of their fault and not our responsibility, because life is inevitably going to be messy and chaotic. And when you have a toddler and you're nursing and, you know, all these things. So I just think we don't want to dwell in that place of what are people going to think about me, because it's not under our control what someone's opinion is going
to
be.
If I may, listening to Laura, and the title of your book is Theology of the Home, I wonder how much of the theology of the home involves the cross, because mm-hmm. Jesus did say, take up yeah. your cross each day and follow me. Mm-hmm. He didn't say it's all going to be orderly and peaceful and, right. and beautiful. So
right.
is that part of the book, the theology of the cross?
You know, we don't talk about that explicitly in terms of that point that you just made, which I think is excellent. But I think that there is this recognition of, you know, things can't always be perfect, and we can't always expect them to be that way. And I think anyone who goes into motherhood at this point, you know, I'm actually expecting my fifth child right now, and we had someone drop at work, a man we know that was working on our house, and I was absolutely humiliated by the disaster that our house was in. And yet I keep thinking it wouldn't be this way if I didn't have all these children, and what a gift that is. And so I think it is because the culture puts so much pressure on us to feel like our house has to be perfect. You know, I think that's where this pressure comes from that we place upon ourselves, but it's not really ultimately, you know, the healthy perspective of coming back to what do our children need? What are we giving them? How are we doing this? How do we keep this in a balanced way? And again, like Noelle said, it's so easy to sort of compare ourselves and think I'm such a failure because, you know, there's my floor is a disaster, whatever,
yeah, right.
You know, all of that. So I think it's just a healthy part that, and actually our editor at Tan has been joking about, you know, wanting to do a set of video of pictures, you know, have people put the real theology of home, which of course is that dirty kitchen and, you know, the messy house and the cereal and the dryer and, you know, all those kinds of things. So I think there's a lot to be said for, just it feeling like we need to be comfortable in kind of in that chaos. Well, at the same time, not thinking that that's how it always has to be, but recognizing that order is important too.
Dr. Carrie Gress and Noelle Maring are our guests. The book is Theology of Home, Finding the Eternal in the Everyday. Your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884. But we have to take a quick break, so we'll get back to those calls right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
I got in my hot little hand here. It's brand new. It just came out. I just got it. The rundown of the Big Spirit Catholic Radio Conference that we're doing in cooperation with Spirit Catholic Radio. A bunch of Catholic Answers folks will be there November 2nd over there at the Embassy Suites La Vista Conference Center in Omaha, Nebraska. And it is just going to be great. Tim Staples is going to be speaking on Jesus' radical call to discipleship. Trent Horn is going to tackle why be Catholic. As you know, he's got a book on why we're Catholic. We're going to do the radio show from the studios there, but then I'll be doing a talk called The Cycle of the Christian Life. Matt Frad's going to be there. Holy smokes! Speaking on God, the universe, and everything. And then Dr. Ray Guarendi will be there speaking on laughter, the sanity of the family. You know, you don't have to stay for Ray Guarendi's talk, though. You can just get the other ones. And, you know, if Nah, sorry. I always have to do that to Dr. Ray. Space is limited, and it's November 2nd, which is almost upon us. I'm amazed at how the year is going by. You just go to spiritcatholicradio.com and register, spiritcatholicradio.com. If you mention the Spirit Catholic Radio conference, you get a discounted room at the Courtyard by Marriott there, and the number there is 402-339-4900. Head over to spiritcatholicradio.com and register. This is going to be a big deal, and we are delighted that we're going to be in Omaha November 2nd for the Spirit Catholic Radio Conference. This hour, we're talking about a brand new and beautiful book, Theology of Home, Finding the Eternal in the Everyday. It is available now from Tan Books. Theology of Home, Finding the Eternal in the Everyday is not just a book, however. My guests are Carrie Gress, one of the authors of the book, and Noelle Mehring, one of the other authors of the book. And when I say it's not just a book, we forgot we kind of to talk about the website.
Yeah, no, let's talk about the website for sure. Because the website was what we started with, actually, was this idea of how do we support women. I started writing articles about, you know, great Catholic stuff, everything from just different designers that I was finding that were doing Catholic art or jewelry and that kind of thing. And I realized there's no aggregate site for Catholic women. You know, we've got plenty of others that are fantastic that do regular news stuff. But so it made me realize that we're really underserving Catholic women by and large. We don't really have, you know, Catholic magazines that you can buy at the newsstand or anything like that. So we sort of buy these things and sort of hold our nose, you know, hoping we won't be too offended by the content of them. So what Noelle and I have been doing for over a year now is this aggregate site. It's called theologyofhome.com. And we have 10 articles a day that we select from, you know, great authors that are Catholic. So we do a lot of theological things, and then we do some other things that, you know, are related to gardening or cooking or recipes or travels, you know, all those kinds of things that women
or great summer
love.
Dresses.
That's an important one.
I
we
saw
loved that one.
Yeah.
So we talk about all kinds of great, great topics that nobody else is talking about, I think, in a concerted way like this. And we also, you know, it's been a lot of fun. We make sure there's not garbage ads, and, you know, we do the best that we can to sort of sort through things so that, you know, women ends up feeling edified instead of, going back into the world really anxious and afraid and fearful, which, you know, unfortunately so much of our news is really stirring that up in us. And we know that's not where we're going to be creative and loving when we really are in that grip of fear and anxiety. So, we would love to get women excited about their lives and about being mothers, or if they're working, or, you know, whatever, balancing all of these things in a way that's healthy and ordered, instead of, you know, feeling like we've just been run over by a Mack truck emotionally, or, you know, are just offended by the content. So that's been a fun project.
888-318-7884 is the number here. 888-318-7884. We're talking about the Theology of Home, the brand new book from Noelle Mehring, Carrie Gress, and I had it on the tip of my tongue.
Megan Schreiber.
It's available now from Tan Books. If you have questions about homemaking, if you have questions about the conditions women face as mothers in the home today, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. How shall I put this? There are big issues in the world today. It's just such a time of contention, and really everything seems on the line every day. Why this? Why homemaking? Why did you focus on this?
Noelle, you want to hit that first?
Sure. I think that, you know, women, to speak broadly, are generally really relational. And so we start with the concrete. I mean, human beings, I guess, in general, start with the concrete, but we begin with what's close to us. And the best way, I think, is maybe the healthiest and most effective way to combat the culture is really the small ways. So it's in building relationships and friendships, building up our families, forming our children. And, you know, I think it's easy, because there's so much, there feels like an onslaught from the culture, to become defensive. And that's such a not winning posture, I think, for Christians to have. And so how do we begin with something positive, which is where we are, creating a beautiful home. And again, we don't mean necessarily conventionally beautiful, but with the deeper things in life, which is stability, safety, love, joy, good cheer, hospitality, you know, and that's really, our homes are ultimately not meant to just be for ourselves, but really to reach out into the culture. So how do we reach out to people who are new in town, or who, how do we befriend people who are, maybe would, might be antagonistic in theory to the life we're living? And how do we do that in a way that's disarming and welcoming and loving? And I think that's what Christ did, right? Is that he was willing to form relationships, and that's what he does with us, is that it's that we feel the gaze of Christ and we begin a relationship with him and feel stirrings in our soul. So how can we become instruments for that movement in another person's soul? It's the best way for us to combat the culture.
Yeah, I think women are also, I think so many of us just don't like the polemics. We don't like snark. We don't like the debates. And we want to get back to that place where our real gifts of compassion and charity and all those kinds of things can come to the forefront. And I think that's what happens in our homes in really dramatic ways. So yeah, I think Noelle explained it beautifully, but that is the idea, is to sort of focus on these, on the family, which has obviously been so destroyed. And that's how we're going to rebuild the culture, rather than being out there protesting and doing all kinds of other things that, you know, have been tried in the past. But really focusing on relationships and helping bring people back to the church and back to their faith through this example and relationships and loving them where they are. Those are powerful tools that I don't think have been used. And I think actually the other powerful tool is just the fact that so many women, you know, we don't realize what an incredible tool and what incredible evangelizers we have been throughout human history. If you look at all these great female saints, they didn't just, it wasn't just their faith. It was, you know, someone like St. Monica, her son, St. Augustine, and just the whole family is affected by a woman's faith. And I think that we as women, as Catholic women, forget how powerful we can be in the lives of our family and our neighbors and those that we come into contact with. It's an incredible force that has spread throughout Christianity, and yet we kind of forget about it today. So we want to reclaim that also.
Suzanne on Facebook wants to know how you deal with mean girls. It seems that there are so many around. As a grandma, it brings back so much resentment.
Yeah. No. Well, Noelle, you've probably dealt with mean girls. I deal with mean girls. I struggle with them sort of in grocery stores and, you know, the size and, you know, just the difficulty of a lot of women dealing with being around children. But Noelle, you probably have dealt with it more. Her children are older than mine are. Been dealing with it among your children?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if she means about for children, not for adults, because there can be mean girls at either age. But I think you try to focus on where you have control, right? Like, you're obviously not going to change mean girls' behavior, so you can talk to girls about, you know, who can you be friends with and what's the positive? Like, who here is being kind, and maybe this person has some wound or. And because that's the reality of part of the reason why we wrote the book, is that there are so many deep wounds in the culture. And when, you know, heaven can be either, we talk about the book, heaven can be a foretaste of, I mean, sorry, home, our homes can be a foretaste of heaven, or they can be a foretaste of hell. And people know what home ought to be because either it's been modeled to them or in what they long for, or because it's what they didn't receive and they long for it deeply and are looking for it all throughout the world. In a disordered way, you know, because it's denied to them. So having that sort of compassionate framing about what's going on with a person who's being mean could be helpful.
Noelle Mehring and Cary Gress have been our guests. Thank you both for a very, very fine hour.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been fun.
The book, you should get it. It's called Theology of Home, Finding the Eternal in the Everyday. It's not just a good book. It's also a beautiful book, and I think you'll be very happy you have it. But you should also go visit theologyofhome.com. Theologyofhome.com. You can sign up, get the magazine in your inbox every day. There are all sorts of wonderful things that you can interact with there. Is there anything else I should mention? Theologyofhome.com. Get the book, Theology of Home. Did I forget anything?
No, I think you did it.
Thanks, Zach. That sounds
I
great.
Did it.
You can find us on Instagram.
Got approval from two moms right there. That makes me feel good. Jimmy Akin next. We're going to do weird questions. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.